Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Good evening and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. I'm Sammy Jacobs. Along with me is TJ Inman. And we are getting ready for the 2020 college football season. Today we will be looking at the Pac-12. We'll be heading out west looking at 12 teams out there. Who our championship game picks are, who our sleeper teams are, and much, much more. We'll take an in-depth look at each of the teams. And right now we bring in TJ Inman. TJ, how are you doing today?
Yeah, I mean, I'm okay. Certainly could be better given the increasing outlook that it certainly looks like college football will be at the very least altered. But today we're going to do our best to bring you a normal, hopefully informative preview of the Pac-12, a conference that I think is very interesting because in the South you have the traditional power of USC, which is not at its normal level but still probably the favorite in that division. In the North you've got forget the high-flying Pac-12 of old. It's a smash-mouth division that has, you know, teams with incredible defenses at the top of it. So an interesting league that I'm excited to talk about.
Yep. Before we get into the Pac-12, we got a word from some of our sponsors. There's no shortage of action going on with our partners over at betonline.ag. The sports world is slowly making its way back with the NBA announcing its return later this month. The MLB as well. But right now, UFC, boxing, NASCAR, and international soccer have all resumed play, and BetOnline has the best odds lines for their upcoming games and matches. Need more? BetOnline has simulated NFL, NBA, and UFC happening live every day for our devout gamblers to check out. BetOnline also offers hundreds of live casino games, poker tournaments, and the best props in the business. Visit betonline.ag on your computer or mobile device, and join now to receive your welcome bonus. BetOnline.ag, your online wagering experts. Well, sports are coming back slowly. We'll see. We'll see where college football lands. I expect we might be hearing some news this week. We're heading into the middle of July. There should be media days coming up, but they've got moved and canceled. But that's neither here nor there. We'll keep you updated at HoosierHuddle.com and on Twitter at @Hoosier_Huddle as much as possible. It seems like information is changing hourly. So it's not only difficult to keep up, but it's difficult to figure out what direction you're heading in when things are spinning at 1,000 miles an hour. But let's take a look at the Pac-12. My championship game, it's kind of a gimme, TJ. I'm taking Oregon and USC, but I don't trust USC to get there, just based off of Todd Helton, the questions they have there. And I'll cover USC in a little bit here. But Oregon is clearly the best team in the Pac-12, in my opinion. They have to figure out their quarterback situation. You'll talk about Oregon here in a little bit as well. But if they could get that figured out, I think you see an Oregon-USC Pac-12 title game. And we'll talk about all the coaches on the hot seat here in the Pac-12 in a little bit. TJ, what is your Pac-12 championship game pick?
I went with you as well. Oregon-USC. Wanted to pick somebody different out of the South, but struggled to find a team that I, liked more than USC. I think they clearly have the most talent in that division. It is just a matter of whether or not they can put it together enough to win the South, and whether that would be enough to keep Helton around for another year. To be determined on that, but that is my pick as well. And I do agree with you, Oregon, definitely the class of this conference heading into 2020.
Yeah. And what's your best game in conference?
Well, in conference, I went with Oregon and Washington, two teams that I think probably at the top of the North. I debated putting Cal ahead of Washington, but really struggled with California's lack of offense in any time Chase Garbers was not on the field. So I don't trust Washington necessarily as they're in transition, but I think that that will be a very good game that could decide the North. Certainly is an argument to be made for USC Arizona. I went with Oregon, Washington. I think you'll have two of the maybe top 10 defenses in the country on display in that one.
Yeah, I'm going to take USC at Utah. It's it could be a game that decides the Pac-12 South title, so we'll see. But it's a game. Utah is a very tough game to play, a place to play at. Utah doesn't return a lot. I'll talk about them in a little bit here as well. But it's a game that is always close. Utah, it's a revenge game for the Utes from last year and all that stuff. Let's go best non-conference game. I think you probably have the same pick as me. Colorado at Colorado. Just kidding. Ohio State visits Oregon, supposedly a week two. We'll see if that happens. But this is it could be a college playoff preview. It's a chance for Oregon to make their claim for a college playoff berth. For Ohio State, it's this is their margin for error. If they go out on the road and win on the West Coast, they can afford to lose a Big Ten game and still get in to the college football playoff. Same with Oregon. If they, if Ohio State comes in and they play them well, they might be able to squeak in as a one-loss, a one-loss Pac-12 team. But it erases their margin for error as well. But if they beat Ohio State, the same goes for them in terms of, hey, that's just another notch on the resume. Oregon's not going to play another team as good as Ohio State, and that win will resonate throughout the season and really get to you as long as they get through with it, no more than one loss, they probably get into the college football playoff. TJ, how about you? What are your what is your best non-conference game?
I mean, I hate to agree with you all the time, but that is certainly the best game. It's one of the best games nationwide, non-conference. It's a game I was really looking forward to at Outson Stadium, a rare trip out. I mean, it's really a Rose Bowl game played on September 5th with a rabid Oregon crowd. I mean, that they would have been pumped up for that one. It could have been a clash of top 10 teams on September 5th. But unfortunately, without fans there, very likely you'll have no fans in the stands for that one. Certainly takes some of the luster off of it. But if those two play, you'd have a whole lot of talent on the field. And I think you're right. If Ohio State goes out there and loses and then runs the table, they still probably get in. If it's the other way around and it's a Oregon loss, I don't know if they've got enough on the rest of their schedule to get them in. But that was to be determined, I guess, for sure. A lot to be decided, of course. But I do think that those are two playoff contenders meeting in September. Anytime you can get that, I think that's going to be your top game.
Yeah, and I believe the last Big Ten team to go out to Oregon and win were the Indiana Hoosiers. So it's we'll see. That would have been a game that would have been, must-watch TV on that second Saturday. Sleeper teams, yeah. TJ, I'm taking Arizona State. I'll get into them a little bit more in more detail in my segment for previews. But South, Pac-12 South, just it's not great. And I think Jaden Daniels, who was a star as a freshman, is going to can take that next step as a sophomore. Herm Edwards has out-recruited USC last year for the first time in Arizona State history. So I think Arizona State could be that sleeper team in there. And you get Utah at home. It's a team that if they could figure out their offense and they wanted to change a more of a power run game, if they could figure out their offense, it's going to be a game, you know, a team that could make a run at that Pac-12 South title. How about you, TJ? What is your sleeper team for the Pac-12?
Well, I don't see anybody unseating Oregon, but a team that I like quite a bit and a program that I'm really beginning to appreciate, Justin Wilcox and the Cal Golden Bears, Chase Garbers, they were 7-0 with him, starting games and performing, just 1-5 without him. So, or 1-6, excuse me, without him. I'm struggling to really find a sleeper just because I think that the Oregon Ducks are a lot better than anybody else in the league. But I do think that Cal, given their defense, given the guys that they've got in place, I think that there's an opportunity for them to at least make game things uncomfortable for Oregon because of how good their defense could be. They do have to replace quite a bit, but I like the kind of the culture that Justin Wilcox has in place there. I like their ability to overcome some of those deficits that they had in personnel. And if Chase Garbers does stay healthy, you know, that could be a scary team to face.
Yeah, it's always Pac-12 after dark and all that stuff. So let's get into our individual team previews. I will start with good old Southern California. USC, I think this is a must-win season for Clay Helton. He's recruited. He's been on the hot seats for since that Rose Bowl season. His recruiting dropped to 55th nationally for the 2020 class. I just don't see how anything short of 10 wins is going to do it. And that's a dangerous game to play. You've already seen the downfall, downside of it. You know, USC's recruiting class averaged like a top five class forever. And then they dipped to 55th in the nation last year. Their schedule is really, really tough. You open with Bama. You have to go to Oregon. You get Notre Dame at home. All three of those could be losses. And right there, you're looking at just 9 wins. And I don't know if that's going to be enough to keep Helton there. You also have Washington coming in from the north. You have to go to Utah. It could get ugly early, and I think USC is one of those teams who can benefit from no fans in the stands because we've seen the last couple of years, those games are half full anyway, and I don't think that that's I think it's a big detriment in terms of team morale and recruiting and all that stuff. So I think it's kind of a cop-out for USC to say, hey, we have to cap at 25% or not allow fans at all and things like that. USC returns possibly the most talented quarterback in the country or in the conference in Keaton Slovis. He was excellent last year. QB depth could be an issue with JT Daniels and Jack Sears hitting the transfer portal. The defense and this, I make this joke every year, Texas and USC or the we're back teams. Every year they have their we're back or we're not back moment, and it seems like it's been doing that for a decade. But their defense must improve under Todd Orlando, who was at Texas before, and it was a similar situation where they had a ton of talent, but they didn't get the results that they needed. So if that defense could turn it around, the offense was excellent last year. It's a young defense, and they have a lot of returning production. They just need to put it all together. And to me, USC is the clear favorite on paper in the South. But we've seen in the last couple of years what that means. It doesn't – whatever's on paper doesn't mean much when teams hit the field when it comes football time. So, TJ, where are we going with you first?
We are going to look at the Pac-12 defending champs, and I would say the heavy favorites to repeat, Mario Cristobal and the Oregon Ducks. Oregon, you know, for a long time had a very successful program built really on speed. Marcus Mariota's teams, they almost won a couple of different national titles. Unfortunately, you know, they had a bit of a step back and then turned to Mario Cristobal, which seemed like a kind of an odd fit. However, he has fairly quickly turned them into a power smash melt team that's built on defense and in the line of scrimmage. They're a physical force, and I think it's going to be very interesting to see if that can continue after last year. The defense stepped up to become one of the nation's best. They held half of their opponents to 10 points or less. The offensive line really dominated a couple of very good defensive lines, including Utah's in the Pac-12 title game. They returned Penei Sewell, who is arguably one of the best and most dominant players at any position in college football. So they returned him. I do think that there's a chance that Oregon Oregon's defense will be the best in the country. They get 10 of 11 starters back, and a significant number of them played a very key part in them being a top five defense last year. You don't think of Oregon and think of defense, but that's what we have here. A good receiver group, not difference-making necessarily. The running backs are really good. There's a trio of them that I think are going to split the carries fairly evenly. But they've got a good stable there. Question is going to be, do they have enough quarterback play to be a national title contender? Tyler Slough is the guy that's going to be given the first shot. Anthony Brown, transfer from Boston College, comes in there. One of the big offseason moves that they made was bringing in Joe Moorhead at offensive coordinator, former Penn State OC, and Mississippi State head coach. Thought that was a really good hire by Cristobal and should pay dividends pretty quickly. If anybody's going to get, you know, something really good out of this offense, I think it could be Joe Moorhead. I have a lot of respect for what he did with Penn State's attack. Really turned around what had been kind of a rocky James Franklin era up to that point, before he brought in Moorhead. So, obviously, the Ohio State game early is key. But I think Oregon has the ability, given their dominating offensive line and given their defense, they have the ability to go unbeaten and get into that playoff. It's a question of how good can the quarterback play be. Slough is a former four-star, but he's going to have to play really well for Oregon to go from a really good Pac-12 team to a national title contender.
Yeah, and Oregon's got some – it's like bizarro world with Oregon and their style of football under Mario Cristobal. Let's go down to Utah. Utah was a near playoff pick last year. They were, you know, Oregon beat them in the Pac-12 championship game, but going into the last day, if they had won, they're likely in the college football playoff. However, This year, they rank 105th in returning production and 130th on returning production on defense, 105th on offense, according to Pick Six previews. That's a lot of lots of talent on a very good offense and a great defense that has left. Now, Kyle Whittingham has been recruiting better, but is it going to be a rebuilding year or a reloading year in Salt Lake City? They get Jake Bentley coming in from South Carolina. It could also be Cameron Rising coming in from Texas to take over the quarterback position. It's going to be running back by committee with Devin Brumfield, Jordan Wilmore, and TJ Green. They do have some weapons to throw to. Four of their top five receivers come back. It's a really, I believe, a manageable schedule. You get BYU in the opener at home. You have to go to Cal. You get USC at home. You have to go to Washington State. You get UCLA at home. Your crossover games really aren't that terrible. If you could get off to a hot start and these replacement players who come in for all this NFL talent that had left, Utah could be that team that sneaks up on USC as well, especially with USC at home. But as I said, they lose a ton of talent and things like that. They do have to go to Arizona State. That is a tough game to play down in the desert. Luckily for them, it's November 21st, so it won't be 1,000 degrees down there. And then you have to go to Colorado to end the season. So back-to-back road games to end the season. You get a good off week right in the middle of the year. It splits the game 7-5. But again, and they do have to go travel to Wyoming third week three. And we've seen people struggle up at Wyoming as well. They beat Missouri up there last year in the opener. So Utah, we'll see if it's a rebuild, reload type of thing. Is it? It's a should be a bowl team with a chance to do something a little bit more as well. They're back-to-back Pac-12 South champions, but this is a transition year for them. TJ, where are we going next? All right, we'll get TJ back here in a second. There we go.
Sorry about that. Thought I hit it. Okay. So we're going to Seattle, Washington to take a look at the Huskies. Chris Peterson gone. Of course, Jimmy Lake, former defensive coordinator for the Huskies. They move him up. Never really any question about who was going to take that position. It seemed like Jimmy Lake was always Chris Peterson's guy to step in there. He is kind of trying to bring a bit more to the Washington program that was early for good or bad. They were taken by Oregon as kind of the it program in this division. Oregon's out recruiting everybody in the Pac-12 right now, including Washington, who even under Peterson didn't really recruit that great. More of a development program. Jimmy Lake is a guy that should up the recruiting a little bit. Whether or not he can, you know, up the program is to be determined. The offense, I didn't love the hire of John Donovan as the offensive coordinator. Another Penn State tie with Donovan. I think far less impressive than Joe Moorhead. But they only get 30% of their offense back in terms of production, and it's not a good offseason to try and rebuild an offense. It wasn't good last year, going to be much better this year. So it should be really good. They had to play a lot of young guys last season, and those growing pains are going to pay off this year. It should be a top 10 defense with an incredible pass rush. They bring back pretty much everybody. And then they have a good incoming class, including a five-star in-state kid, a pass rusher named Savelle Smalls that should make an immediate impact, much the way we saw Kayvon Thibodeau do last season for Oregon. It's really going to be one of the better defenses in the country. They opened with Michigan. Maybe.
And we lost TJ again. Talking about Washington, they do open up with Michigan, or should open up with Michigan. That'll be a big test for both teams. There is some weather moving through the area, so we do have some issues with connectivity. But, yeah, Washington, it's going to be a transition year, right? And we got TJ back.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, difficult schedule in terms of the road games. Oregon, Utah, Cal, USC, plus a home game against Michigan. I mean, they could be improved and still struggle to get to maybe 8 wins. I don't see the schedule there for them to challenge Oregon in the North.
Yeah, it's coming off the coaching change. They've lost a lot of talent as well there. So, you know, we'll see what Washington does. Now we're going to head down to Arizona State, my sleeper pick for the Pac-12 South. It was tough to pick them between them and Utah. I just think they have more coming back, more known coming back than Utah. The Herm Edwards experiment seems to be working. I know we made fun of this a couple years ago when he was hired, asked what Arizona State was thinking. But they got a great coach, and he's got back-to-back 8-win years, and things seem to be clicking. He did have to replace both coordinators this year. He's bringing in Zach Hill from Boise State. He wanted more of a power run game, which Zach Hill ran at Boise State. O-line can be an issue again. They lose a lot of production, but they do have two key transfers coming in. They did out-recruit USC for the first time ever the last cycle. And Jaden Daniels is a fantastic quarterback. I think he's the next best quarterback in this division, which is why I picked him to be the sleeper. He's gone on the road and beaten Michigan State. He's, you know, he's won 8 games. He's won a bowl game and things like that. So can he take the next step and become a star in this league as well? The defense, Marvin Lewis, another old NFL coach, is coming in. They're going to change their defensive scheme up to a 4-3 instead of a 3-3-5. So we'll see how they can adjust to that. Their defense returns 76% of their production from a year ago. The schedule, and take these schedules with a grain of salt, because games like playing Northern Arizona, they might not happen this year and things like that. But, you know, they got a pretty reasonable non-conference schedule with Northern Arizona at UNLV and BYU coming into Arizona State. It gets tougher in conference. You have to go to USC. You have to go to Oregon. And then you get the game at the end of the year against Arizona at Arizona. So it's a tough conference schedule. You kind of control your own destiny. You don't really control your own destiny. I mean, by going to USC, you do get Utah at home on November 21st, but that comes following a trip to Oregon and before a trip to Arizona. Your crossover games are Cal and Washington State, so it's not too bad. And Oregon State is another crossover game for them as well. So it's not too bad. You couldn't have handpicked a better crossover slate to get some wins there either. So we'll see what they do. Can they take a next step and contend for the South? That's the question. We'll see. It depends on that defense. It depends on if Jaden Daniels can take that next step. TJ, who's up next for you?
Yeah, touched on them earlier. We'll go to Cal, Berkeley, and Justin Wilcox's program. They won 8 games in 2019. The question's now whether or not they have enough to challenge Washington and Oregon for the top of the North. I think they can pass the Huskies this season and get to second, possibly, if Chase Garber stays healthy, but just not enough firepower there to bring in. And really some questions as to whether or not they can reload on defense. Had to replace quite a bit, including three NFL draft picks. You know, you give a team like Oregon or Washington the benefit of the doubt when it comes to replacing guys. California, they're going to have to prove it a little bit. I do think Wilcox has a system in place that can do that, but until you see it, you're allowed to be a little skeptical about it. You know, the offense without Garbers was just really ghastly. It was awful without him. A bottom 10 offense without Garbers, but with him, they were at least somewhat effective. There's just not a lot of skill position talent beyond him. And that's a problem for sure when you're going up against really good defenses like Oregon and Washington. They host Oregon, they host Washington. However, not a lot of chance given the lack of firepower for them to really move up much. I do think that if they can, you know, establish themselves as a consistent 7-8 win program this year with the solid season, you could see a young defense this year develop into, you know, an upcycle, if you will, and have a shot at 10 wins the following season.
Yeah, we'll see where Cal goes and things like that. Next, we're going out to Colorado in the Pac-12 South. This is where there's a drop-off. I really think that there's, you know, there's a clear top one in the Pac-12 South, and then Utah and Arizona State are pretty close, and then there's Colorado and Arizona and UCLA. Colorado was hit by the perfect storm, back-to-back five-win seasons. They're kind of building with Mel Tucker. All of a sudden, Mark D'Antonio resigns right after signing day. That coaching search takes forever, and they come out with Mel Tucker from Colorado right before spring practice, which inevitably got canceled. So you're bringing in a new coach with no spring ball, none of his own recruits there, coming off of back-to-back losing seasons. You're losing two of your top playmakers in wide receivers, Tony Brown and Laviska Shenault, who, if you hadn't seen play, was awesome. They have a decent offensive line to build around. Who's going to play quarterback is up in the air, too. You have Tyler Lytle, who is an IU quarterback target, ready to commit, apparently, but didn't. And Brendan Lewis will compete for the starting job. You got running back Alex Fontenot, who had a really good year in 2019. He could be better in 2020. The defense returns a lot of their unit from 2019, but that was a bad defense. You do need to keep an eye on Alabama transfer Antonio Alfano. He'll help improve that defense. Also, Mustafa Johnson along the defensive line will be healthy. That could help. I think this is a year zero type of situation at Colorado. There's talent there, but you're bringing in a new coach, John Embry. There was no spring ball. It was after signing day. It's just, I think, a tough situation. Your schedule is really, really tough. You have at Colorado State, at USC, at Stanford, at Washington, Oregon at home, and you have to travel to Texas A&M. How many of those games actually get played? We'll see. But you, looking at that, that's six games that they could – you could totally lose or at least go 5-1. Colorado State is breaking in a new coach and Steve Adazio as well. So it could be a total, I think, a year zero type of situation in Boulder for the Buffs. TJ, where are you taking us next?
Colorado is certainly an interesting hire there as well. Embry, not exactly an inspired choice, but maybe like Herm Edwards, it'll pay off. I'm going to Palo Alto, California. We're going to talk about Stanford. You know, they're the Pac-12 bully no more. That title was stripped from them when they were punked up front by USC and then Central Florida in consecutive weeks. There were alarm bells already, but that really kind of had it sink in that Stanford wasn't, you know, what we have come to expect from them any longer. They've been forced to kind of turn to a more of a spread offense as they couldn't move the ball on the ground. The offensive lines, they had a lot of injuries, but still it's nowhere near the quality you've come to expect from them. They do get several injured starters back. And if they are to return to anything close to the form we've come to expect from Stanford, that group's got to be a lot better. KJ Costello's gone, so it's Davis Mills now. It's his show. But again, if the line can't step it up, nothing's going to matter because those elite defenses in the Pac-12 North that'll swallow them whole and no quarterback would have success. They did get good news when top cornerback Paulson Adebo decided to come back for 2020 after he battled some injuries in 2019. The defensive line, you know, it's pretty thin, not a lot of depth there. They lost two starters, including Javon Swan to Indiana to transfer. They avoid Utah and Arizona State, but they do have to travel Notre Dame, Oregon, Washington, and Cal. Again, I think getting to a bowl game is just going to be considered success. I think you have to ask the question, has Stanford's David Shaw, have they seen the peak of that program come and go? And if so, then how much longer is that situation tenable for both parties? Not suggesting they'd look to fire him, but, you know, if you're seeing diminishing returns, you've got to wonder how long is David Shaw interested in sticking around for that, and how long would Stanford be okay letting it just continue to dwindle?
Yeah, it's one of those situations, like you said, is it time to cut bait, or do you expect them to rebound? Speaking of cutting bait, before we get to UCLA, I mean, this would be a good fishing advertisement time, but let's get back another message from our sponsors over at Bet Online. Again, there is no shortage of action going on with our partners over at betonline.ag. The sports world is slowly making its way back with the NBA announcing its return in late July. But now UFC, boxing, NASCAR, and international soccer have all resumed play, and BetOnline has the best odds lines for their upcoming games and matches. Need more? BetOnline has simulated NFL, NBA, and UFC happening live every day for our devout gamblers to check out. BetOnline also offers hundreds of live casino games, poker tournaments, and the best props in the business. Visit betonline.ag on your computer or mobile device today and join now to receive your welcome bonus. BetOnline.ag, your online wagering experts. We're heading to UCLA. I kind of alluded to this before. There are a lot of coaches in a normal year who would be on the hot seat. You've got Clay Helton up at USC. Chip Kelly is certainly one at UCLA. We mentioned David Shaw's seat could be getting hot as well. But Chip Kelly has been an utter disaster at UCLA. In his first year, he won three games. Last year, he improved and won four games. It's just not a good situation there. They haven't, you know, he's recruiting has been a little bit better. They upped the class to 32 from 41 in year one. In 2018, he was at 19. So there is some talent, but it's not the Chip Kelly magic you saw at Oregon, you know, earlier in the 2000s. Their scoring offense was in the 70s. Their rushing offense was in the 80s. Passing offense was only 42. They lose star power at every position on offense. You do return your quarterback and Dorian Thompson-Robinson, who had a pretty good year out when he got hurt. UCLA's offense was dreadful. The defense was awful. And it's not like, you know, in the past when you had a mediocre Oregon defense and an elite Oregon offense where you can make up for that. UCLA ranked 116th out of 130 teams in scoring defense, letting up 34.8 points per game. They gave up half a point per play. That's ridiculous. Total defense was 113th. They returned 53% of that defense. So whether or not you want to think that's a good thing or a bad thing, they were awful last year, but only half of them returned. So you look at their schedule, it's not too bad outside of – we'll see if that Hawaii game happens. So they do play 14 games. But outside of that, you get New Mexico State at Hawaii, at San Diego State, which could be tricky, are your non-conference games. And then you get Stanford at home, which isn't too bad. You draw Oregon State and Washington State, as well as Cal at the end of the year. So it's not – it's not a terrible schedule. It's just, do they have the talent to get through this? And I think you look at the end of year three with Chip Kelly, if you're looking at anything less than six wins, it's what are we doing here and things like that. You know, support for UCLA is going down. If you look at recruiting total in California, a lot of those top recruits are leaving the state, which is why USC and UCLA are both struggling. And that's something, if you're a recruiting junkie, to look into as well. But it's just, I don't see UCLA jumping back into things. And you got to think after, you know, if you don't see vast improvement in year three with Chip Kelly, do you cut bait and try and go after somebody else? Anyway, TJ, where are we going next?
The Palouse, Washington State. Mike Leach is gone. The Dread Pirates set sail for Starkville. That'll be a fascinating experience or experiment in the SEC. Washington State opted to kind of air or stay in the air raid tree, if you will. Kind of a run and shoot offense that Nick Rolovich brings from Hawaii. His 2019 offense was fourth in terms of pass percentage plays, so don't expect the Cougars to start running the ball a bunch, but it is certainly going to be more more carries for Max Borgie, which, you know, it seems like a good idea to give the ball to your best player. So Rolovich will probably do that more than Mike Leach did, and that should benefit him. You know, we don't know who the quarterback's going to be yet. They do have some options, but they're going to be dealing with a complete restart at wide receiver, as well as a change from a Mike Leach system, which is just completely different than anything else that gets run. So when you're transitioning from that with a new coach and you don't get a full off season, that's a major hindrance for the development of this program under Rolovich. The defense returns a lot of production, but just like with UCLA, they stunk last season. So how good is that? Defensive coordinator Tracy Clays left midway through the season. They tanked after that. They were a very young defense, so you'll probably see some improvement just from added experience. And they brought in the former Wyoming defensive coordinator, which, again, you'll see some improvement just from there's not anywhere to go but up. To rebuild through and through, and they're missing the bulk of the offseason, I'm picking them to finish absolutely in the basement of the Pac-12 North behind Oregon State as well, who I'll talk about next.
Wow. That's you're saying Oregon State's going places. That brings us to the bottom of the Pac-12 South. Arizona. Khalil Tate's time is over. Hardly knew you, Khalil Tate. It was supposed to be one of the most exciting eras in college football in the Pac-12. You brought Kevin Sumlin in. You thought it would be Johnny Manziel 2.0, or as some people referred to it as Desert Vic out there. Kevin Sumlin's been there for 2 years. He's got all of 9 wins in those 2 years. He's 0-2 against Arizona State. Arizona hasn't beaten Arizona State since 2016, and it doesn't look like they'll beat them this year. So that's got a weigh in it. It's another year 3 situation. If there's not vast improvement, and you brought in your own guys, your recruiting hasn't been really good. The best class has been 56th, but he's been right around that 60 range in the rest. It's just, what are you doing? Arizona had a good run with Rich Rod, but after a 3-9 year in 2016, they just getting back up to 7 wins in 2017 wasn't enough. And it's tough being down there. So Grant Gunnell will be the full-time quarterback. He's a better passer than Khalil Tate. He'll have full control of the offense. They have to replace their starting running back as well in J.J. Taylor, who averaged 4.8 yards per carry, but they do get Gary Brightwell and Nathan Tilford back. Both of them averaged north of 5.5 yards per carry last year. They bring in Jalen John and Frank Brown as well, two high three-star players. They started 8 different offensive line combinations last year. That offensive line was absolutely destroyed by injury, and it took a top 50 run push line and put them, in the high 80s there. Playmaking on the outside is going to be tough. They have gone 5 years without a 1,000-yard receiver, but you've got Brendan Schooler coming in from Oregon as a transfer who should help there. Defensively, they were awful last year. They ranked 118th in scoring defense, slightly better than UCLA. In passing defense, they were 126. They averaged just under 0.5 per play. They do return nearly 80% of that defense. So they need to improve, is the bottom line. They are switching from a 4-2-5 defense to 3-4. We'll see if that improves it, but it's another year 3 type of situation where you're paying a guy a ton of money and you say, hey, if we're not improving, what are we doing? And Arizona Pick 6 previews has them ranked as the 61st best Power 5 team, and there's 66 Power 5 teams. It's Arizona's not that bad of a football program. And I know they're on the west, out west and play late at night, and people really don't know much about them, but they had things going a little bit there under Rich Rod and before. So we'll see. Their schedule is not awful. They open up with Hawaii in Tucson. We'll see if that game happens. See if Portland State happens and things like that. You do have to go to Texas Tech in the non-conference. Have to go to Washington, and you have Oregon coming home, but you do get Oregon State at home as well. So, the conference schedule stinks for them, especially drawing those two at Washington and Oregon at home back-to-back weekends as well. It's just, can they improve? Are they going to be a team that could, they've been on a decline from 7 wins in 2017, 5 wins in 2018, to 4 wins last year. Are we still seeing a decline, or are we rebuilding in Kevin Sumlin's 3rd year? If not, you could see another coaching change. If this were a normal year, another coaching change in the Pac-12 there as well. Final team of the day, TJ, where are we going?
Yep, the Oregon State Beavers. Now, I've got them ahead of Washington State, but that's mainly because I think it's incredibly hard to switch from a system like Mike Leach's, especially when you don't really get an off season. I do think Jonathan Smith has the Beavers going in the right direction. That's a very, very difficult job. Corvallis is an outpost. Hard to get players there, especially when your in-state rival is just this behemoth that is hammering you. It's difficult. It's a tough spot. They've got to figure out how to take a step forward with that offensive lineman returning. It's a rebuilding offensive line, as well as quarterback Jake Luton, who was a really good player for them last year. They do get Jamar Jefferson back. He's a really good running back, under the radar guy, and they've got some real good speed at receiver. The defense gets back almost all their front sevens. So that's a positive for them there. They do have to rebuild the secondary a little bit, but there's not a ton of great quarterbacks in this league anyway right now, so I don't think it'll hurt them too bad. If they keep the same schedule, they've got to play at Oklahoma State, at Arizona State, at Washington, at Utah. They host Cal and Oregon. That's really tough. It's tough to find six wins in that schedule. But they do get to host Washington State, which is why I've got them ahead of the Cougars in that front. But it's just a tough road to hoe for Oregon State. I think they're going in the right direction, but they've got a long way to go to even be a consistent bowl program. It could start with them getting to six wins this year, but I don't see it with that schedule.
Yeah, it's I just hope we get a season. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens from there. But TJ, thanks for joining us. I know how futile it feels trying to preview something that is, let's face it, probably not going to happen, at least until spring, or, you know, games might have not happen and we don't know what players are going to opt out and things like that. So thanks for joining us today, and we'll be back next week doing the group of five.
Absolutely. Yeah, hopefully everybody has a good week, and hang in there. We'll try and find some positive news somewhere.
Yeah, right now it's like Eeyore. So
yeah,
we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, TJ. That does it for today's Hoosier Huddle podcast. Hopefully you enjoyed the Pac-12 preview. Hopefully we get to see some of these games get played. Before we get out of here, come back to HoosierHuddle.com. We'll have you covered. IU has moved into phase two of their athletics plan for reopening and things like that. So there should be updates soon. There probably is going to be updates regarding a season here in the next couple weeks, at least by late July or early August when camps are supposed to start. So we'll see. So keep it tuned to HoosierHuddle.com. Follow us on Twitter at Hoosier_Huddle. And we have a final word from our partners over at Manscaped. Men, start taking notes, because Manscaped accidents are finally a thing of the past. The Manscaped Lawnmower 3.0 has been beautifully designed to reduce those painful nicks and tugs. This is a third generation trimmer featuring advanced skin safe technology, so you can keep yourself nice and smooth. Manscaped engineering team obsesses over the technology developments to provide you the best tools for your grooming experience, and they spent over 18 months perfecting the greatest trimmer ever created, and just released the new and improved Lawnmower 3.0. You could get 20 to try it out. You could get 20% off plus free shipping with the code armchair at manscaped.com. That is 20% off and free shipping with the code armchair at manscaped.com. Thank you for joining us this evening. Also, another word from our partners over at Armchair. They're still doing their Armchair Scholarship. They will provide $400 or $500 stipends to give away for young Black creatives for the 2020 fall semester. So if you're looking, if you're a black creative and looking for an opportunity and need some help paying for that opportunity, this is perfect for you. And you got to hurry up, because the fall semester could be starting shortly. All applicants are directed to apply at scholarship@armchairallamericans.com. Anyone looking to fund their own $500 scholarship through Armchair or direct email andrew@armchairallamericans.com. If you're looking for a chance, if you've been passed up, there are three requirements for eligibility: be a Black creative under the age of 21 and submit a project, whether it's graphic design, photography, writing, audio, video, journalism, creative writing, any of that stuff. Email those to scholarship@armchairallamericans.com. Thank you guys very much. We'll be back next week doing our group of five, preview, and then we'll finally get to the Big Ten after that, and hopefully we'll continue with the previews and have a season in 2020. Thanks for joining us. Stay safe, wear a mask, and we'll see you next week.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Searching for NBA playoff coverage? We've got you. The Old Man and the Three, presented by BMW, gives you an inside look into the world of sports. Hosted by former NBA sharpshooter and Duke legend J.J. Redick and sports writer Tommy Alter, The Old Man and the Three offers unprecedented access to the league. Tommy and J.J. discuss the NBA and interview some of the biggest names in the league, like Devin Booker and Luka Doncic. NBA final season is the perfect time to dive in, and you can listen to The Old Man and the Three wherever you get your podcasts. To hear episodes brought to you by BMW. Push the limits this NBA season with the brand that set the ultimate standard. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.